Even though sometimes it is difficult for us to understand, it is difficult for us sometimes to put into practice. We know that your word is truth. And we know that it is all about you, Jesus. All God's people said, amen. Thank you so much, worship team. Thank you for being here today. We're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 2. Let me get my tablet caught up to where we are today. We're going to be in verses 13 through 25. If you'll remember, when we started this book, 1 Peter, and I told you that Peter has some very challenging things to say to all of us, or rather, better said, God has some very challenging things to say to all of us through Peter, is the author of this book. And now we are going to get to some of the tough stuff. Remember that Peter, he told us that you're a child of God. If you're a Christian, you've been born again, you're a child of God. And that's a great and wonderful thing because God chose you. Knowing everything he knew about you, he still said, I want you to be a part of the family. But as part of the family, you are expected to live like part of the family. Peter reminded us that we are called to be holy. We are called to be set apart from who we used to be before we met Jesus and set apart to do the good works that Jesus has for us to do now. And that is a struggle that we all face on a daily basis. And he talked about the importance in the way that we grow into holiness and the way that we grow in our faith is through the renewing of our mind and allowing our minds to be in control as we take the truth of the Word of God and as we apply the truth of the Word of God in our lives. And in order to do that, we've got to fall in love with the Word of God. Because he said, you must desire the sincere milk of the Word of God in order to understand and to know the Word of God. And as we talked last week, the key to having the kind of life that lives to holiness, the kind of life that doesn't go into crisis mode when the crisis of life hit, the key to that is a rock-solid relationship with Jesus Christ. And Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 7 that the person that hears his word or reads his word and then what? Does it or applies it into his life, is like the wise man who built his house on a rock. And when the storms of life hit, when the crisis of life hit, we do not go into crisis mode because we have such a rock-solid, firm foundation and firm relationship with Jesus that nothing in this world can move us or shake us. We have to understand that as we move and venture into the next section of Peter, because he's going to hit us right where we live. And he talks about four different areas of our life where we have to practice submission to our Heavenly Father. And we're going to talk about two of those today, and then we'll talk about two next week. And as we talk about submission, really what we are talking about is the enemy within. The Bible talks about us fighting the world and the flesh and the devil. But we have to be honest, the biggest enemy we face is our own flesh, that thing inside of us. Because at the core of our sin nature is pride. The core of your sin nature is, I want what I want. And that's the battle that we're all going to struggle with for the next couple weeks for sure. And we are all in the same boat because we all have a sin nature. And so as you sit there and as the Holy Spirit points a finger at you and he touches your heart, know this, you are not alone because we all face this battle. And this battle on the enemy within is this. It is what God wants versus what I want. And as you grow and as you mature in your faith and become a stronger Christian, it is easier to do what God wants. But I hate to tell you this, it never becomes easy. Because you will battle this for the rest of your days. Until we leave this body and until we leave this sin nature-filled body, we are going to battle with this struggle of what God wants versus what I want. And a key to doing what God wants is this area of submission. Not just to God and not just when we're in church, but in all of our lives. If you'll remember those, you know, Satan, when Satan fell, what was it that caused him to fall? Satan said, I don't want to reflect God's glory anymore. I want to reflect my own glory. And I want to be just as strong and just as powerful as God. And so he went to war against God, but he lost. And every time we go to battle against God, we're going to lose as well. And what did Satan do? He came to the earth and he tempted Adam and Eve. And he said, eat this and you will be like gods, knowing good from evil. He appealed to their pride. And when they disobeyed and they sinned, they were filled with the sin nature, which at the core is pride. I want what I want. And now everybody born since then, it's all of us in this room, we are born with the I want nature. And anybody that's ever raised a child understands this. Two-year-olds are not basically good. You got to make them behave because they want what they want. And when they don't get what do they want, do they just go, yes, ma'am, I'm sorry. No, that is not their nature. It is they cry and they scream and they throw themselves on the floor and they run and they do all of this stuff. And as a good parent, what do you have to do? You have to teach and you have to train them what it means to put aside what I want. Because we are all born with this thing called pride. And as Peter is about to write to the reader of his day, he's writing at a time where Nero is emperor. And it is a time of severe persecution in the world. And Christians are being persecuted. And we all know that when we suffer, what's inside of us wells up and comes out. And don't think of suffering today as suffering in the sense that you're being tortured for your faith or you're going to be killed for your faith, which it could happen. Not likely in America, if we're going to be honest. But suffering really is having to put up with something I really don't want to have to put up with. And we tell ourselves, I shouldn't have to put up with either because I'm special. Oh, you thought that before too. We all have, right? So we all suffer. And learning to submit and suffering go hand in hand. Unless we forget who is writing to us today. God chose Peter to write this to us. He didn't choose a professor, an academic, who was sitting in a library somewhere writing this academic pursuit of submission and suffering. He chose Peter. Remember? Jesus met Peter and he called Peter and he says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. He spoke his language because Peter was a fisherman. And Peter laid everything down to follow Jesus. But Peter struggled with this area of submission, did he not? Right before Jesus is headed back to Jerusalem for the last time, and he's really pouring into the apostles. And he says, people say all this about me, but who do you say that I am? And Peter says, you're the Christ, you're the Messiah, you're the Son of the living God. He got it exactly right. But then right after that, you know what Jesus said? He says, we're going to Jerusalem, and I'm going to be crucified, and I'm going to be killed. And then what did Peter do? He didn't say, yes, Lord, if that's God's will. He took Jesus aside and said, yeah, I don't think we're going to let that happen. And Jesus looked at him and called him Satan. Why? Because in that moment, Peter's pride got in the way of God's will. And Peter learned his lesson, though. And then as we know, Peter fell. And as we know, he struggled. And then after the resurrection, when Jesus restores Peter back to his leadership position, you know what Jesus told Peter? He told Peter how he was going to die. He told Peter he was going to be crucified. And he told it to encourage him. And so for the next 30 or 35 years, Peter travels the world preaching the gospel, being thrown into prison, getting let out of prison, similar to Paul, all the while knowing that he's going to be crucified. And he did it willingly. Peter had to learn this topic that he is talking about today. So he is not talking to us from a perspective of someone that doesn't understand. He's talking to us from a perspective of somebody who's been right through the middle of it, way worse than you and I ever have. And so as he talks about this battle, about what God wants versus what I want, we're going to look at four areas in the next 2 weeks. We're going to look at the government, Then we're going to look today also at your workplace. Next week, we're really going to hit home where we talk about the home. We're going to talk about the church. And it will be a struggle. And that is okay. Because when you're struggling against your sin nature, it shows that you're trying to grow. And right in the middle of that, where I want to spend most of our time, hopefully today, is our example, Jesus Christ. But Peter continues his letter. And he says, therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors, as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice or as a cover for your own sinful desires, right? But as a bondservant of God. Honor all people. Love the brotherhood, that's the church. Fear God and honor the king. Now remember who he's writing to? He wasn't writing to people who lived in America who had the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and the freedom of speech and the freedom of religion and the freedom to gather and the freedom to protest. He wasn't writing to people like that. He was writing to people who are under the dictatorship of the Roman Emperor Nero. And the Romans considered their Caesars to be God. In Rome, they said, you could worship as many gods as you want. We don't care, but you got to worship Caesar as God, though, as well. But the Christian stands up and says, I can't do that. There is only one God, maker of heaven and earth. Jesus Christ is his only Son, and we worship that God and him alone. And Nero did not like it. And so they're under persecution. And now Peter's writing and saying, wait a minute. I got to listen to that clown? And I got to obey him? And Americans are saying, you mean I got to pay my taxes knowing the garbage that they do with that money? And I'm like, yes, you do. As American citizens, we have plenty of freedoms in this world. But as American citizens, God tells us that we are to submit to the authority. That's the federal government. That's our government. That's our local government. That's to the police officer that pulls you over when you've been going a little too fast. We are to live into submission to our government, and it isn't always easy. It means we pay our taxes, even though we don't always agree, even though they may use that money for things that we do not approve of. And I know Christians that use this argument. I'm not paying taxes because they'll do wicked stuff with it. The problem is the biblical principle is this, that we're to honor Caesar. This is what Jesus said. And that once I pay my taxes, that money is no longer mine. I'm not responsible for how it's spent. I'm simply responsible to submit to the authority in my life. We have the freedom to protest in America. They didn't have that freedom back then. Fortunately, we do. If you want to protest something other government, you can do that. But you must do it peaceably. The moment that we step across the line and damage somebody's property, or we hurt somebody, or we throw rocks at the police, or we do something violent, then we have crossed the line. We are free to protest as long as we do it peacefully. If we want to march down to their courthouse or whatever and protest, they say, well, come on down, but you got to have a permit. We get a permit. You do all of these things, even though we may not like it. You know why? Because when we practice submission to the authority and to the laws of our land, we are practicing submission to our Heavenly Father. We are giving and doing what God wants versus what I want. And I promise you, it's not always easy. I can give you a perfect example, and then we'll move on. Here at the church, we pay hundreds of dollars every year for copyright license of the music that we sing in live stream. I'm not a fan of that law. To me, it makes sense for large churches with lots of people and thousands of people watching across the world. For a small church where your live stream doesn't reach a lot of people, it seems quite expensive. But the laws of the land is that if you're going to live stream and put music out, you've got to pay a fee. Part of that fee goes to pay the writers of those songs. And as somebody who's written a lot of, not a lot, but it's quite a few songs, I understand it. So we spend the money, even as a small church. It is a sacrifice we make in order to be able to live stream out into the world and do it in a way that honors God. And we will continue to do so. Because that's what the law says. Like it or not. As Christians, we obey our government. Now the question is, the government doesn't always do things right. You're correct. But principle number one in this thing is rebellious conduct to your government, actually to any place, but rebellious conduct by a Christian brings dishonor to Jesus. When Jesus walked this earth, he was still 100% God, correct? Was Jesus 100% God as he walked the earth? Yes, he was. But he submitted to the authority of the government while he was here. He practiced for us what he preached. So we must submit to the government. Our freedom in Christ is never an excuse for self-indulgence or license to sin, he said. As free people, we don't use our freedom to cover up our sin. We use our freedom to serve God as bondservants of Christ. We do not use our freedom in Christ to rebel against our government. And fortunately, it's a little easier to preach here than this would be to preach in China or India or Pakistan or a lot of other countries where I would already be arrested for what I've already said this morning. So I'm thankful that God has placed me here. But the principle applies across the world. We submit to the laws of our land and to the authority unless and only unless they attempt to force you to disobey the clear teaching of the Word of God. If the government came in here and said, Pastor, you have to preach that such and such is okay, and the Bible is clear and says, no, such and such is sin, I will have to say, no, I'm going to preach against sin. I don't care what the government says. So if the Bible is clear, we obey God first. But we never use that excuse to rebel against our government. Well, then he moves on. And he moves right into our workplace. And it gets even tougher. It says, servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear. The context for you and I today for these verses is employee-employer relationships. That the employee needs to be submissive to the supervisor or the general manager or the regional manager, whoever's in charge, not only to the good and gentle, but also to who? Did he really say that? Ouch, right? You mean I've got to obey that supervisor that uses the kind of language that just really irritates me? Is that what he just said? I have to listen to that supervisor that I just can't stand and who mocks Christianity and who makes fun of me? Yes, we are. I told you, this is hard stuff. But you know what? I am a Christian. Everything I do, including my workplace, flows from the fact that I'm a Christian. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, and I submit to the will of my Father. And if my Father says I have to submit to that crazy boss, I submit. And I listen and I do what I'm expected to do. He continues. Why? This is commendable. When you have to put up with stuff at work that you don't want to have to put up with. And we all have to. And I've been there. I've not pastored all my life. I've worked in lots of places. But when you put up with stuff at work that you have to put up with for the name of Christ, God says that's commendable. Because conscience toward God, if you endure grief in the workplace, you're suffering wrongly, God looks at that and he smiles. Because you're living out the example of Jesus, as we're going to see in a moment. Then he goes, what credit is it if when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. In other words, if you get written up for being late to work one too many times, big deal, you deserved it, God says. If you get in trouble for doing something wrong, that's one thing. But if you have to suffer patiently and all you did was the next right thing, God says that is commendable. So in our workplace, how do we deal with that kind of stuff? I think it's this way. We have respectful conversations with people. Having respectful conversations is always a good thing. That's showing honor to people. You can go to that person that's irritating at work. You can go to that boss or whoever that doesn't handle it the way you think they should handle it. Have a respectful conversation at the proper time in a proper place. That's okay. But don't ever get into argumentative demands. They're the authority. And this principle of submission runs all throughout the scriptures, submitting to authority. So have your conversations. But if they choose to ignore you and you have to suffer, just remember this: God looks down and He smiles. And I know that's hard. I know you probably work with some people that are just irritating and get on your nerves, and you'd like to smack them upside the head. Right? Why? Because we have that thing inside of us: I don't deserve to be treated this way. That pride wells up, and the "how dare you" wells up within us, and that core of our sin nature grows and wells up within us. And when that happens, it usually leads to sinful words or sinful behavior. If you're a Christian, you should be the best employee in the building. Being the best employee in the building is what honors God. It's what shows the world out there that there is a difference in that person, because I don't know why, but they talk about Jesus and they go to church. If we tell people we go to church and we do nothing different than they do, why would they want to come and find out what we got here? They're going to look around and go, "I don't see any difference." We need to live out there in a way that says people will want to come and find us and what's going on here. Paul tells us the same thing in Titus. Paul, writing to Titus, who was a pastor, Paul's teaching Titus to teach his people. He says, "Titus, remind them. Titus, remind your church members to be subject to rulers and authorities." That's the government. "To obey and be ready for every good work. That we are to submit to authority and be ready to do the next right thing." To what? Speak evil of who? To speak evil of who? Does that include your boss? It's hard. We're not to speak evil of him. To be what? Peaceable, gentle, showing humility to all men. We are called to live quiet and peaceable lives at work and in public. That is the calling of Jesus Christ in our lives. So what's the big deal? And it is hard. Remember, you're battling every day this thing called pride, this sin nature in your life. It's kind of like laundry. Anybody done with your laundry? Never. You are never done with laundry, are you? I did laundry yesterday. I got clothes that are already dirty. It's just the way it is. And this battle that we face to live quiet and peaceful lives at work and in public, it is a daily battle that never goes away. Remember Jesus the night before his crucifixion, when he was washing the feet of the disciples. Why was he reminding them of that? He says, if you're saved, you're already clean. You don't need a bath, right? But your feet need to be washed. Why? Because walking in this world in a day-to-day life, you get dirty. You get some of this world on you. It's like your laundry. It's constantly got to be clean. We constantly got to be washing our feet and reminding ourselves of these principles and of these truths. Peter says, for this, for what? To live quiet and peaceful lives in the workplace and in public. For to that you were called. Because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. When Jesus walked this earth, he did not just come to die for your sins. He came and he lived on this earth to show us how you and I are supposed to live in this world. That we are to follow his steps. And how did Jesus live in this area of submission and of suffering? Well, first off, Peter reminds us who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. Jesus never said or did anything worthy of being mistreated. Not once. Let's be honest. Sometimes we say and do things that make us worthy of being mistreated. We get what we deserve. Jesus never did any of it. But who? Jesus. When he was reviled, what? He did not revile in return. In other words, when they mocked him, when they called him names, when they said he was crazy, when they said he was a liar, when they said he was didn't know what he was talking about, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten. What did he do? He committed himself to him who judges righteously. He submitted himself to his heavenly Father. On the night where he was arrested, the soldiers came. He goes, "Who you're looking for?" They told him. He said, "I am he." And what happened? All the soldiers, just from the words from his mouth, all of those soldiers fell down. They were knocked off of their feet with three simple words from Jesus. You know what he proved in that moment? He's like, "If I don't want to go with you, I don't have to go." They got back up and they came back. And what did he do? He submitted to the authority. He allowed himself to be arrested. He allowed himself to be tried illegally. And he allowed himself to be crucified for your sins and for mine. He didn't have to. Remember what he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. "Father, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." Jesus practiced submission to the government and to the world, to the authority, and it cost him his life. But he did it to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Peter continued, "Who himself, Jesus, bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins," the moment that you are saved, you are now baptized with Christ, you are now dead to your sins, so that you can now live for righteousness to do the next right thing, "and by whose stripes you were healed." Our healing comes from his suffering. He goes, "For we were like sheep going astray. But now that you're a child of God, now that you've accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, what? You have returned to who? The shepherd and overseer of your souls." And that verse reminds me of what? 23rd Psalm. "The Lord is my, I shall not want." When you and I follow Jesus' example of submission, even in the midst of suffering, when you and I follow the example of submission, even when we have to put up with things that we don't want to put up with, when we have to submit to the authority in our life, everything within us cries out, "I don't want to do it." But God says, "I'll walk with you through it." And when you submit to the authority in your life, you have now therefore placed yourself under the protective hand of your shepherd. And Jesus says, "I'll walk with you and I'll protect you and I'll take care of you." That doesn't mean everything goes away. That doesn't mean tomorrow morning that grumpy boss turns into nice boss. But it does mean that when you submit and do the next right thing, God will reach down and he will protect you. And he will walk with you. And yes, you may have to suffer in this life. But if you have to suffer in this life, because Jesus suffered for you. The American church is soft. We have been spoiled. We have been raised in a country that has allowed us all of these freedoms. And way too many Christians who live in America expect that they should never have to suffer because we've had it good for 260 years or so. Suffering is a part of the Christian life. I mean, sometimes we have to submit to things that we don't want to submit to. But when you submit to your Heavenly Father the way Jesus submitted, you have now placed yourself under God's hand and his protection. And God looks down and he smiles. Because he knows that you just did something that's very, very hard. So how do we wrap this up? Do or don't, actually. We'll start with the don'ts. In your workplace and in the government, we don't We don't participate in sin. If your boss says, I need you to sneak next door and steal a bunch of pallets from the business next door, I can't do that. God's pretty clear about stealing. I'll go over there and see if they'll loan us some, right? You don't participate in sin, whether it's from your boss or from your government. There are times you have to stand up for the truth, but you also need to be prepared to suffer the consequences for standing up for the truth. We don't participate in sin. Submission to authority does not give us permission to go do wrong. The other thing we don't do is we don't use our freedom as an excuse for rebellion. We do not use our church to rebel against our local authority. Freedom in Christ is freedom to serve God, free from sin, not an excuse for sin. And we don't try to be somebody else's conscience. In the workplace, be at peace with everybody to the best of your ability. Have those respectful conversations if you need to. If you have to go down and talk to a government official, and you discover that government official may not necessarily be in the best of moods, it's hard. And it's hard to sit at the DMV and wait. Or wherever it is you go, we still respectful. We do not try to change them. You cannot be your boss's conscience. You cannot be the government's conscience. You respond to your own conscience. But what do we do? If we don't participate in sin and we don't use our freedom as an excuse, and we're not anybody else's conscience, this is what we do. We plant gospel seeds of truth. Have respectful conversations where you can explain to them why it bothers you when they act that way. That's good. Plant gospel seeds in the words that you say. And the second thing you do is you shine the light of the gospel. Remember that as you submit and as you suffer, you are following the example of your Lord and Savior. My friend, this is a battle we all struggle with, and it's a battle we all face every single day. It's what does God want versus what I want. And probably the hardest area every Christian faces in this battle of submission, because the battle of submission flies against the very nature that you were born with, that prideful, sinful nature. And the more we mature in Christ, the easier it gets, but it never goes away. Let's pray. God in heaven, as we think of this issue of submission to authority in the workplace and in the government, we must constantly remember that you submitted and you suffered and you died for us. Oh God in heaven, we confess to you that this is so, so hard. Because we want what we want. I pray that you'll help each and every one of us in our workplaces, within our government, in public, in our relationships with each other, to learn to grow in this area of submission and submitting to you and the things that you want for us, even if it doesn't make sense to us in the moment. Dear God in heaven, I pray that for all of us this morning, that we will respond to you and that we will come to you, confessing our sins, if necessary, confessing to someone else. Oh God in heaven, I pray that as we close out our time together, Holy Spirit, work in our hearts, and I pray that we will respond as you have called us, with heads bowed and eyes closed as the worship team comes back up. What do you battle with in this area of submission? All of us do. We all struggle in one way or another because it is built into us. What has God spoken to you about today? If you will give it to God, God will protect you. God will bless you. As they sing, they're going to sing, "Give us clean hands and give us pure hearts." Let's all stand with heads bowed. As if you need to come and pray.